following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Refuge family, good to be with you. Monday, it's Monday. Yes, it's June 1st. And here we are. We're still in our lockdown, and thus we're still providing fireside chats, and we're still praying that they're a blessing to you as they were intended to be. It's not for us, it's for you to encourage you and provide a timely word. Our pastors pray over these, and as the Lord leads, put these together. So Pastor Jonathan Ferguson today with the chat. Real quickly before I turn it over to him, I want to thank you that went through the process of registering. It sounds so weird, I know, for church services in the weekend, but it's the only way that we can do it in an orderly fashion so that we can make sure that we don't overbook, so to speak, because we're only allowed 100 inside the sanctuary, and then we have our overflow areas as well. So we apologize, but it's the only way to do it, and we're doing it for you. It'd be easy to just say, hey, everybody show up, and we'll turn you away if we have to, but we don't want to do that. So thank you for that. We're doing that again for this Wednesday night service and this weekend service. We added, as we did this past Sunday, a 12:30 on Sunday, just so that we can accommodate those that want to be in the sanctuary. And we want you to be, if you can, if it makes sense, if it's wise, we want you here. And if not, well, of course, we'll be live streaming. So please know that's happening. You can register online on the website, refugefamily.com. If that's a problem, maybe you don't have a computer, don't have a smartphone, whatever the case, or you know of somebody that wants to but can't, have them call the church office. We'll walk you through it. We'll help you. We'll do it for you if we have to, but we want you here. So just keep that in mind. And Jonathan, it's all you, brother.
All right. Thanks, Alan. Before I begin, I want to open us up with a word of prayer. Lord, as we look out, some of us just outside of our windows, and others, as we look out on the news and see what's happening around our neighborhoods and around the state and around the nation, Lord, I pray right now for peace, and I pray that your hand would be upon us. Help us as the church to do what you have called us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I live down in downtown Huntington Beach. And after the events of yesterday, I wanted to kind of take the time right now to share a few words and then pray for our city and our state and our nation. You know, I've been asked by a couple of people why the death of one person, no matter how tragic, should cause so much upheaval. And the death of George Floyd is a tragedy that should never have happened, right? We all can agree on that. But unfortunately, many of us are just now waking up to the severity of this issue, even though it's been really the normative experience for a very large part of our country's population for quite some time. And coming on the so close on the tragedy of Ahmaud Arbery's death and Breonna Taylor and the video harassment of Christian Cooper in New York City as he's just out bird watching, we must acknowledge the fear and anger and pain that these events cause in our areas, in our communities. And it doesn't matter if we're white or black or Latino or Asian or Pacific Islander or Native American, we must all lament in some way that the history and culture of violence and discrimination against people that we see as different from ourselves. But we can lament and we can mourn with those who hurt without at any time making it a partisan or political stand that we're taking. It's a human thing. It's an issue that we must take because of the cross. Now, the political wars that we see around us, listen, they're part of the kingdom of man and not the kingdom of God for most of the issues that we're fighting over. And Christians who angrily vilify other people who they disagree with in the name of protecting our rights or in the name of I have a right to say what I want, have forgotten who we are. We are first citizens of the kingdom of God and then citizens of the kingdom of the country or the state where we live. As Christians, we are called to lay down our rights to serve others even. The other famous John 3:16, we know John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. And that wasn't just a way of like, oh, I'm going to lay down my life like Christ did on the cross, but laying down as we continue to live, as we continue to go about our lives and every action that we do, we must be about how can we serve others. And Jesus made a distinction for his followers between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of man when he said in John 18, as he's being arrested, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. And so it was very clear that Jesus had in mind that there was a difference. There was a kingdom of God that we must be about serving. So then I've been asked, why would I say speak up on this if we're trying to be about the kingdom of God rather than the kingdom of man? The racism that we see in this world is a kingdom issue, the kingdom of God issue. And us, we are called to stand up for injustice. Proverbs 31, verses 8 through 9. So before it talks about the Proverbs 31 woman that we always tend to think of in that chapter, but Proverbs 31 also has this to say. Verses 8 and 9 says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves and for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. So why would I continue to speak up? Well, one, the Word of God says so. And secondly, if I choose to remain silent, it is in many ways making a statement by my silence. And by our silence, it doesn't communicate often what we want it to communicate. Maybe we were like, if there's an issue out there and we're like, oh, you know what? I think it's best if we just stay silent and we just go about what we do and let this issue solve itself. We might mean to avoid division or fanning the flames of controversy, but in fact, it communicates that we're either indifferent or that we're taking the side. Now, I want to make it very clear, as we're talking about the violence and injustice and everything that's happening in our country, and what a crazy time for this all to hit, huh? Right after with us still in the middle of dealing with coronavirus and elections and all this stuff, we have this hit us. May God have mercy on our nation. But I want to make it very clear that when I speak out against the injustice and speak out against the brutality and the abuse of power that is unfortunately a part of us as a nation and part of us as sinful man, I'm not condoning the acts of violence that have been going on in the streets or in our city and other cities that they say it's in the name of justice. No. Peaceful protests, demonstrations, and even shutdowns, they're different from rioting and looting that you see at night on the streets. The former group are calling for their voices to be heard, calling for justice, and you see that in those peaceful demonstrations. The latter group, they're self-seeking and not helping the cause they claim to be representing. They're different in these groups are different in goals, their values, and even the results. But Christians, listen, we are called to love one another. We are called to love one another. Jesus said in John 13, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We will be known by our love for other people. We will be known by our love. We must be different Christians than the world around us. We must show love. Not hatred, not anger and bitterness. Matthew 6, Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? And he concludes with one of the scariest verses, I think, around. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. If you're not convicted by that, you didn't hear it right. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's one of the hardest things for me to do. Now, as it relates to this, I'll let you know, I've made a promise recently to myself, my wife, and now I'm making it publicly, that before I say anything negative about someone, I'm going to first stop and pray. So every time I've been getting on, you know, like, did you hear what, you know, so-and-so said? Adrian's like, did you pray first? All right, let me pray first. All right. So, did you hear what they said? It changes, right? Okay. It is already starting to change the way that I talk about people who disagree with me. Now imagine if every time we were about to spout off our hatred or anger about someone, if we did the same thing and we prayed first for that person. Now, I may still say I disagree with that person. I may still say that someone's actions are foolish or reckless or dangerous, but I will be doing so now after at least attempting to leave all of my anger and bitterness and hatred at the foot of the cross where it belongs. And so I want to close out our last few minutes that we have with some prayer. With some prayer. But when we do so, I'm going to try and leave, and now I pray that you guys would join me with in this time of prayer, but that we leave our anger and bitterness, pride and hatred and the rest of our sins at the foot of the cross. As we pray for our city, as we pray for our state, as we pray for our nation, as we pray for those that are on the other political side from us, as we pray for those that are on the other side of the issues when it comes to the violence that's breaking out right now and the protests that are happening across our nation, let us pray in love for them. And so let's do that. Lord, I want to come before you and virtually lead this congregation that is watching in a prayer to you, a prayer that, Lord, first, a prayer that is filled with love. May the words that I say and the people who are watching as well that might be praying alongside, that we would be lay aside our angerness, our bitter, our hatred, our envy, jealousies, whatever it may be at the cross, and come to you. Lord, we confess that it is so easy for us to fall into the trap of that. So easy it is to fall into the trap of thinking of ourselves. And Lord, please help us. You died on the cross for our sins of hatred and bitterness, as well as the sins that we're so easily pointing out in others. So help us to remove the plank from our own eye. And we pray for peace right now, Lord, in this land. We pray for your peace to be upon our city of Huntington Beach, upon our county, upon the state of California, our nation, and the world, as we are going through so much right now. And as the United States is continually struggling with so many issues, Lord, it's easy to go, why? To ask you why. But Lord, we know that we can ask for your peace, the peace in our lives. We pray for the peace of the land in which we live. As sojourners, we know that we don't belong here. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And so we pray, though, for the country that we live in. We pray for the land that we live in. As we settle and go about our business, may you be glorified in our lives. Lord, we pray against the endemic nature of the racism and prejudice that is in our country and in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to see all people as image bearers of you. You created every one of us, Lord, and we are each and every one of us equal in your eyes. And so help us to end that prejudice that so easily creeps in. We pray for the peace in the cities. We pray for the peace here in Huntington Beach and Santa Ana and Costa Mesa and Fullerton and the other cities here in Orange County and Long Beach and Los Angeles and Minneapolis and Denver and San Francisco and Washington, D.C. and Atlanta and Dallas and Houston and all the places around this country where rioting is happening. Lord, we pray for justice. We pray for peace. We pray for the safety of our officers and National Guard as they're responding as well. And Lord, we pray for reconciliation to take place, that we might be able to lay aside our differences and come together. Lord, you gave us the ministry of reconciliation as you first reconciled us to you as you died on the cross. But that cross was also to bring us reconciliation with our brothers and sisters across this world. So I pray for these things. Be with us, Lord, and help us as the believers of Refuge, as the body of Christ here, be one of those lights in the dark world in which we shine. And we pray for the churches all around us that they would be the same, that we would be lights in the darkness, that we would lay aside our own personal rights to show love, to build up one another, to protect one another, to fight for what is right. Lord, give us the strength to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. That's it for me today. But we'll be back again all this week for another Fireside Chat. Be praying for our nation. Be praying for everyone that you come across. God bless you guys.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.